G'day everybody, and welcome to the House of Mario, the South Australian Nintendo podcast that is backed by a 120 power star rating. I'm your host Drew Agnew, and the doors to episode 267 are open. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about some Nintendo stuff as always, but to talk all about that is my good friend Josh, or JT if you like. Josh, how you going, mate?
Very well, Drew. Very well. Thank you. Thank you for finally saying the way I introduce my own show, Nintendovania. Thank you. Have you worked out what you're going to call me?
Josh. Call you Josh. I've always called you Josh. Your little name tag at the bottom of the video here says Josh, in brackets Nintendovania. Maybe I have to say that every single time. So, g'day everybody. This is Josh Nintendovania.
That's too much. Yeah.
Just Mr. Nintendovania.
That's worse, actually. I don't like that.
Sir Nintendovania. There we go.
Oh, that's more like it. There you go.
Sir Nintendovania.
With the sir. I like that.
It does. Yeah, it has a nice little ring to it. You can just call me Drew, though. I don't want to. I don't have. I just got iDrewby. Yeah. That's a mouthful, though, isn't it? Like in real. Like you see it like on Twitter or something, right? It's got a bit of a look to it. You sort of recognize it when you look at it. But if you go around saying, oh, this is my friend iDrewby, there's a lot of syllables in there when you could just do Drew. That's a one take, one syllable. Nice and easy. Don't need to complicate it. So that's how I feel about that.
I get that.
But
Your name iDrewby reminds me of Vegemite when they did the iSnack 2.0 and the, don't know if you remember that. It's called Cheesy Bite.
No, I don't.
Bite
it rings a bell, though. It rings a bell.
Yeah, it's called Cheesy Bite now, but it used to be iSnack 2.0. And it was a silly name.
Okay.
Like marketing kind of stuff to make it, you know, so outrageously badly named that it got traction and people started buying it. But it's delicious, man. It is so yummy. So I see iRuby. I think of iSnack 2.0 or Cheesy Bite Vegemite, and it's to die for.
Really?
Like for people who live overseas and don't understand Vegemite, this is like a cheesy version of Vegemite and made by the same people, and it is not as harsh, but obviously cheesy, and it's very good. Very good.
That sounds really good. Yeah. Now that's fascinating that you that's the conclusion, or that's a little neural link that sort of connects my name to like something else in your brain, because for me, I don't know if anybody's actually brought this up with me, or it's just something that I'm a little bit not paranoid about, but it's like I don't want to act like I'm copying this person, but like the big YouTuber iJustine, obviously she's got the I in front of her name because she's like a big Apple fan. She covers a lot of Apple stuff. And honestly, for me, I just put the I in front of it just to make it work. I didn't want an X in front of it. I just wanted like a slim letter that doesn't take too much attention away. So that's where the I comes from, and I just sort of stuck with it ever since. I don't know whether that was on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network or whatever I was doing, but yeah, that's where the name sort of stuck, and I just rolled with it from there.
I don't know her. I thought you were going to say iCarly, and then I know that one.
Yeah, there's iCarly too. Yeah, look, there's a lot of great women entertainers out there I could take inspiration from, but no, I just wanted what my username to work, because Drewby, it's not unique enough, unfortunately.
No, that's fair.
No.
What's been happening, mate?
I found a YouTube channel, and their YouTube channel is literally just called Jamie. I'm like, that is fascinating. How did you get that?
Must have been like 2010, like, or like peak early YouTube, securing a name like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I came across their channel. They do like a lot of movie-based content. He's an Aboriginal man in Australia, and he's got like 2,500 subscribers. And I was watching a couple of his videos, and I click onto his actual channel, and I just see his channel's name's Jamie. I'm like, man, how did you get Jamie? It's fascinating. Yeah. Maybe he had it forever, just like as a what was that? That Google social network? He might have had that. And then it might have just decided
Google
to
Plus.
Use it more recently. Yeah, Google Plus. Maybe he had a Google Plus and he just had his name as Jamie. Who knows?
God. That barely lasted a year, didn't it? That was like nothing. Yeah. Too many Googles. And then they stopped doing it.
Yeah, they got to stick to what they're good at, just stealing people's data. That's just gotta stick to that. That makes you enough money.
Nice emails, Google, and storage, and and the search engine, obviously. But that's about it, man. That's a yeah. Don't bother doing anything else.
Didn't do too good with the gaming either. They just, I can't believe how early they jumped off the bed with Stadia. Yeah, just because I thought they were really onto something when if the technology's there and you can just like watch somebody play a game like Assassin's Creed or something, like they showed in the demo, and you're like, oh yeah, I'll give that a go, and just click the button and you literally jump into their gameplay situation and you're just streaming it and there's no downloading or loading or anything, and that would have been fascinating. But they never even got to that point where it was integrated into YouTube and all that. But not to be. They didn't have the patience. I think they sort of thought to themselves, like, wait a minute, we have to develop games. What, they take how long to make? Oh, yeah. I think they literally sort of saw the
writing on the wall before it's what's happening right now.
Yeah, yeah, well, exactly. With just budgets are just ballooning when it comes to AAA game development. Like, it's scary stuff for people like us who like love to play that type of game. It's worrying, but
I mean, less so for Nintendo though, because they've always done it the right way. Sounds like saying that generation or so behind in terms of graphical outputs and making sure it's the amount they sell obviously helps, but they've created a great ecosystem where they can keep those costs somewhat down. They're not spending $4 million on Spider-Man, are they?
Yeah, yeah. How much did it end up costing? Like $300 million, like, and that was $100 million spent more than the first game, which is just. You'd think that it will start to sort of level out by the time you've got all the assets and that done. But it's just they got to go bigger and bigger. Like you said with Nintendo, I think it's actually really great how they've sort of managed their just game development. Like they've got a console that isn't, top of the range, but that also means that they can just focus more on the characters, the gameplay and all of that, and people aren't expecting like the biggest and best sort of when it comes to graphics. Like with PlayStation, when it comes to like The Last of Us Part 3, the expectations are just like top of the ladder every single time one of their games come out.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it's scary stuff. But everybody, thank you very much for joining us here at the House of Murray. Really appreciate it. Just some housekeeping. If you want to check out the video, you can check it out on youtube.com/RideRuby, where we are live streaming right now. And thank you very much to Wacko Jacko, who has joined us first in the live chat here. He's got a bit of a comment here. I haven't actually read it yet because it's a bit of a paragraph, but when Josh is talking or something, when I have a bit of time, I'll read it. I'm just reading at the very end.
Yes.
Just for anybody that doesn't know, Wacko Jacko, he's our Splatoon expert in the House of Mario Discord. And I've asked him to kindly bully me to play Side Order, the most recent DLC for Splatoon 3. And just a bit of an update, I have not played Side Order. But when I was sitting on the couch playing some Switch earlier, the thought did go through my head that one day I will play it. So we're getting there. The bullying has worked a little bit, has it? Look, who knows? Maybe it'll make a real difference if he comes to my house. Like he gets a bit serious with it. He like does like a burning dog turd on the front door. Like, he gets, amps the bullying up a little bit.
Bangs on the door, forces his way in, straps you down into a seat.
Oh, enough to strap me down.
Takes the controller to your hands and just forces you to play it for like 3 hours straight. I think that's a kind bullying that you're after, isn't it? Something like
it's
that.
A kind bullying, yeah, sort of. Yeah, yeah, just the kind bullying. So yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for Wacko Jacko for being in the chat here, bullying me while I'm sat here podcasting. Appreciate it, mate. Love it. Yeah. And Josh, you've got some housekeeping as well. Nintendovania, new episode today with Barry. Tell people about that episode so they can go and check it out.
Yeah, thank you. Latest episode of my fortnightly podcast. So I get the pleasure of every 2 weeks getting a new episode. So I get Barry Carenza from Nintendo Fuse Podcast and co-owner of Premium Edition Games. We had some good fun the other night. talking about Nintendo peripherals. So we did a big tiering S-tier table, had about 20 different peripherals that Nintendo's made over the years, and we just ranked them. And in terms of like legacy and their fun, their uniqueness, everything like that. And so I had fun getting confused between the transfer pack and the rumble pack because they always look the same to me. I've never really owned one myself. Always had them at friends' houses and used them that way. But yeah, we had a really comprehensive time ranking them. And Barry's like played so many of them, utilized so much of it. He was a great sort of source of information and gave some great insight to it. So if you're remotely interested in the weird stuff that Nintendo does, as you probably are if you're listening to this, check it out. It was very fun, actually.
Yeah, great. I listened to it today and had a lot of fun. While I was bent over crutching some sheep, I was listening to all the discussion.
How I imagine you listening to my stuff, Drew. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always listening to Josh just while I'm bent over, just his word in my ear. I'm like, yes.
Crutching, you said?
Yeah. Yeah, crutching, yeah. Crushing sheep. Getting
the sheep buttholes. Yeah, love it. Lovely.
All the sheep buttholes. Yep. Yeah. Just great way to make a living. You got it somehow though. There's no coal mines near, so I gotta, gotta go crushing.
No, you gotta do something.
Gotta do something.
You're one of a kind with your interest in what you do. I just it's great. I love it.
Yep. I love Nintendo and I love sheep. Love them.
You're a farmer, yeah.
Yeah, just great. Not a frustrating animal at all.
No. They're so loving.
Oh, I don't know if they are. They got a sinister side to them,
Really? Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know about that. I'm just
thought they were too dumb to really have one.
Yeah, they're a bit silly. They're a bit silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Go and check out Nintendovania if you like Josh would say, JT if you like, and go and check it out if you like. Definitely recommended.
Yeah.
But Josh. How's your week been? What have you been up to? I have spoiled it for myself. Like I said, I have listened to Nintendovania, so you have sort of touched on some of the games you've been playing this week. But one game I'm really sort of keen to talk to you about is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I've been your bully, and now I have to relinquish my bullying. And
I did it. Do you have a celebratory kind of sound to give to me, Drew? Because I've done it.
My soundboard loaded up. Okay, what have we got? We've got some. Oh, here we go. Congratulations, go. Josh. I can't. No, I can't. But I've got the applause going. There you go. All right,
thank you.
Congratulations,
thank
mate.
Thank you so much. Like honestly, I couldn't have done it without you, Drew, in terms of finally finishing Prince of Persia, because I loved this game. It first came out in January. God, that's like, 3 months ago now, and really got into it. And, you were in my house talking about it. You were like actually geeking out about it because you had played it and finished it pretty well at that stage. And I had done like 10, 15 hours or something like that and loved it as a Metroidvania. But as you know, things just come and go and, you get distracted and we follow the latest releases and Mario Donkey Kong comes out and I was finishing another code and then it kind of just falls off. But Drew, you've been bullying me. You've been pressuring me in the right ways, I think. There's other ways I like you doing it as well, but this was another unique one that you pressured me on, and finally did it, smashed it out. I slightly lowered the difficulty to make it happen, but I did it. So
That's my boy.
Is a very good game. I'm glad to have finished it because it did deserve my time to finish it off properly and get the ending, because it does some pretty cool things here at the end and just how they sort of finish it off, which I really liked. So. It's a very solid Metroidvania. It deserves the praise that it's got. I think it deserves more sales than what it's received. But I just love what Ubisoft's done with Montpellier, and just I hope they do more, because I think that'd be great. I know we've got a roguelike coming from the people who've done Dead Cells. I forget their names right now, but that's in Prince of Persia style. So that's something awesome for Prince of Persia fans to look forward to. But this one was a cool direction for them to take the series in.
Yeah, I really loved like how the story wrapped up. I thought it was really cool, and the twists and turns as you're going through. I think the story was actually like really interesting, and one of my favorite areas was like the ocean area. That was an area where like it really sort of like blew my mind with what they were doing. And then once you activate a certain point, how, I don't really want to spoil it because if somebody gets to this point, but you know how like something changes and let's just say motion comes yeah. back. I thought that was like a really smart way of just changing the environment. And yeah, just it done that like multiple times throughout the whole game. So yeah, no, it was fantastic. So it's good that you finally beat it because I didn't want it to be a game that you fell off because I know how much you love Metroidvanias. So if you never get back to it, that would have been a loss for you, Josh. That would have been a big loss.
It would have
just
been.
Just like how big a loss it is for me not playing Side Order. You know, it's just, man, I'm missing out, aren't I?
You're actually missing out on a really good roguelike. And so addicted, man, once you get started. So you're doing yourself a disservice by not doing it. So we're going to keep pressuring you to do it. Just can you promise me you just start it before next Monday?
Okay.
Can you promise me that?
I can do that. I can start it. Absolutely. 100%. Right. That's a
getting specific, you know what? With the pressuring. Mm.
That's a great sort of task to give me because like the idea of like play it, like, oh shit, you know, the idea of mastering it and completing it, you know, in like, I guess a certain time frame. I'm like, oh shit, maybe. Yeah, it sounds a little bit more daunting, but you're saying just try it. All right, that sounds just great. Just do dabble. It. I'll do it.
Put your foot in the water.
I'll do it for you, and I'll also do it for Wacko Jacko so he doesn't.
You got to promise him. He's asking you to promise him.
Just yeah, bully me. Promise me too. All right, I'll bring him up on the screen here. Just as you comment. Yeah, absolutely, promise. Man. I'll promise you Wacko Jacko. Just for you too.
I'm glad you drew. That's
no one else listening. No one else listening. You're not responsible for this. This is these two boys. Good lad. Thank you, mate. Thank you.
Yeah. Well done. Yep.
So yeah, great you outcome. Finally finished Prince of Persia, and I guess that leaves you open. What's the sort of next big release that you're excited for? Is it basically the next Nintendo game, which is Endless Ocean, or is there something else on the horizon that you're keen to get into? Because
Paper Mario is the big one to me. Very keen to properly play that on the Switch. I love the idea. It will. Sorry, Wacko Jacko, one star rating.
Yeah, I just saw that too. Yeah, Wacko Jacko just says otherwise I'll rate one star. That's a threat. That's not a bully. That's the worst thing you can say to a podcaster. Oh my god. Oh Christ. Like, give me a freaking heart attack.
Worst thing you can say,
mate,
to a podcaster trying to make it big. Don't do that.
Yeah, Christ. Oh, don't do that to me, mate. We're going to get fuck all engagement on as it is, let alone with a one star. Oh, no. anyway, sorry.
All right, yeah. What was that? Paper Mario. Yeah, like, very keen for that. I kind of love this. Sneakily, like, they're not promoting it as like Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door HD or Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door Remastered or Remake or something. They're just calling it Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. And so I kind of don't mind that because people who know that it's a remake, but people who don't, they just think it's just going to be a new entry in the series. So I honestly wonder, does that make a difference for people to think, oh, it's a new Paper Mario game and they haven't heard about it before and they buy it? I don't know. Very interested to know why they've done that. I can only think it helps to get more sales, maybe. Not sure.
Yeah, maybe. It is interesting because, like, yeah, we got Luigi's Mansion 2 HD.
Yeah.
But I think, in the case of Paper Mario, maybe they're like, look, no one was there for the GameCube and it was late GameCube. You bastards didn't show up. You let us down. PlayStation just beat our ass and you're over there having a great time. So we gotta fucking make our money back now. We're not gonna pretend. We're just gonna pretend this is a brand new game because no one bought it anyway.
Don't blame them. Yeah, and why not? There's so many great GameCube classics that a lot of people haven't touched. Obviously, like for the reasons you said, because not many people bought a GameCube, so they're prime for the picking. We had Metroid Prime Remastered. What we've had. This one coming up, Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door. But what else have we had lately? We've had Pikmin 1 and 2. I'm thinking there was another one.
Guess we got Mario Sunshine, technically, but you got to track it. track it down.
Yeah,
I can't think of any other ones. No.
GX F-Zero has been rumored. That's something.
That'd be nice.
There's some great games there. Yeah. They're finally doing, giving some love to. So, you know, we will take it when it's pretty quiet right now. I'm low-key excited for and just Endless Ocean Luminous, though. I'm keen to try it out at least and see if it will be fun. I think tempering expectations, knowing it is, you know, a bit of a simulation kind of game and not a, you know, leveling up and, you know, buying unlockables and collectibles and things like that. It's not going to be like that. It's you're in the ocean and you're looking around and you're going to find hundreds of different species of fish and things like that, and it's going to be, you know, is what it is. But I hope it'll be fun. We'll get a whole bunch of us together, I hope, and it should be decent time, would have thought.
Yeah, I think so. I've always been keen to check out the Wii versions, but I've just never haven't got around to it. And I'll be more than happy just to play those ones, to be honest with you. Like, I've already got them. So yeah. I'll be more than happy just to play them instead of the Switch one, but I'll play the Switch one. But yeah, hope it engages me, because I like the idea of just like chill exploration instead of like, you know, Zelda or open world games where there's always something to try and kill you or whatever. But the idea of like just filling out an encyclopedia with fish and just kind of zen, I've always enjoyed that. Like, you know, Pilot Wings on 3DS and the aeroplane mode on Wii Sports Resort. There was no sort of... nothing to hurt you or kill you, but you had a time limit and you got to pick what route you go, and you're just collecting things across Woohoo Island, enjoying yourself, finding secrets and things like that. I hope it sort of scratches that itch where it's just like there's nooks and crannies, and I don't know if you've got like a time limit in that with oxygen. I'm not quite sure of Endless Ocean. I assume there probably is, but hopefully it scratches that sort of type of itch where you just like, you pick it up and you're just exploring and having a good time, just sort of filling out a bit of a log there. But yeah, I got no idea. I haven't seen any more footage apart from what was at that direct a month or so ago. So
okay,
it is.
They did a trailer the other week. You probably saw
okay,
that,
cool. Like,
of it.
But, yeah. Was it anything else really shown about it, or was it just like, oh, look, here's more Endless Ocean. Here's some more footage of fish and stuff.
It was more like ASMR, kind of like you're just looking at it for 3 minutes and it's nice. And I think there was some other details shown, but yeah, it's a pretty low-key kind of way to market it, really. But I'm keen, because, you know, I'll be like, oh, that fish is from Animal Crossing. Oh, that's a, you know, you know, that's a, you know, all the different ones you learn from that. I want to see them in a different vein, you know, in a better 3D, more realistic retelling. I don't know.
Yeah, because they got all the deep sea fish and all of like the crazy, more sort of mythical stuff in there too, actually, which would be really fun to sort of track down. Yeah, no, I'm keen for it. I am keen for it. Yep. See what I say when it actually comes out. I feel like these games just sneak up on me and they come out. I'm like, oh, but I don't feel like playing them when they come out. It's just a really weird thing that's happened to me even over the last year, where I play games sort of like a month after they come out, and that's when I feel like it. Because like for me, I've been playing a few games over the weekend, which has gotten me sort of back into the gaming mood. And tonight, while, you know, Lucas was watching Bananas and Pajamas, I picked up my Switch and I was playing Princess Peach. And since what I did when I was playing Princess Peach Showtime, I think I did the first level or whatever. Then I locked the Switch and I had it in my backpack all week. I was bringing it to work, but I never feel inclined to pick it up. So eventually it ran out of battery, and when I picked it up today, it like reset me to like the start of like the first level. So I effectively had done nothing. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot more this time. I was a lot more in the headspace, and I was just more keen for like the fun, colorful, joyful, sort of easy sort of roller coaster that game throws you on. And I was enjoying myself, and I went through like just like the first world, like with the sword, and then the second level with the ninja. I thought the ninja was a lot of fun. It's pretty cool how it sort of, you know, you're doing stealth and then it goes like an endless runner. Like, it's just like swapping genres. I thought it was a lot of fun. So that's where I sort of am with games more like recently, where it is just like, well, when it comes out, I don't really feel like playing it. And I got a sort of, don't know. I don't know what's going wrong with me, Josh, but it's something.
Yeah, they're going to change it up. It's going to come out on a Thursday, these games coming up. So hopefully, maybe it's a Friday thing. Maybe you're not True. Feeling Fridays anymore to game. So Nintendo's
maybe.
You go, Drew.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that's why Nintendo changed it. That's right. They said, look, Drew's not feeling it Fridays. He's feeling a bit of the weekend blues, whatever that means. Let's get out Thursday a little bit earlier for him, eh? So he can ease into it for the weekend. He can sort of mentally adjust by the time Friday comes around. It's already been out for a day. Then big old Drew boy can jump into it then. But I guess I'll just jump into what I was playing over the weekend just since I was brought that up. But last week we talked about comfort games, and I needed one of those comfort games just to sort of get myself back into it. I've been out of the game playing space for like over a month. And it happens to me. It happened to me a lot earlier this year than it did last year. Last year it was during like the winter months, like June, July, where I just didn't touch anything. So then I ended up basically missing Pikmin 4 and Final Fantasy 16. Like they came and went, and then I never caught up with them, you know, because I was playing like Mario Wonder and all of the stuff that sort of came out after that. But I needed some comfort games. So I had my Steam Deck set up and I decided to play some Pokemon Emerald. I've been wanting to play free Pokemon Emerald again for a little bit, but I've been wanting to play it on my GameCube when I get sort of my GameCube set up, but that's sort of the mod that I'm looking to get is still basically in beta. It comes out soon. It's called Flippy Drive, if anybody wants to go and check it out. I'm just sort of stalking their Discord just to like see where they're at whenever they put it up for pre-order. And it seems like it's maybe a week or so off. But all right, I don't want to wait for that anymore to play it on my cart. I'll play it on my Steam Deck. And anybody that has a Steam Deck OLED, man, this thing is gorgeous. Just like the Switch OLED. Really nice, beautiful screen. So those pixels are popping on the Steam Deck OLED. It looks absolutely awesome. And it's great because I can play through the game with achievements and like speed up. And my God, the speed up. Yeah. it's amazing playing these games you're familiar with, and they're turn-based and all that, but with speed up. So on the Steam Deck, you can set it to like 1x speed up or 2x, 3x. But the default is literally just uncapped. So it speeds it up to whatever the machine can handle. So I got no idea how many times speed up it's going, but it literally makes it hard to walk and get through doors. It's going that quick. So I'm like speeding it up, trying to get back to a Pokemon Center the hill. And like, I'll be like just manipulating the stick just so I can move one square across. Cause if I hold it, like if I just press it, I'll be in the next town. I'll be gone. Like speed up's intense. But what's also really cool about like the Steam Deck and how it's set up in RetroArch for the controls is like A and B are obviously on the Game Boy Advance A and B, but then you can hold an X and Y, and then it does like just like turbo mode for A and B buttons. So you can hold in like turbo and it just like with speed up just goes through battles. So if your Pokemon are like strong enough, they can just like the battle is done.
So you just make sure the first top left attacks the one you want to go with. Is that how that works?
Yeah, so I was making sure that like each of my moves, like the best move that has the most PP and will actually like one or two shot Pokemon was in the first slot. And it was great. I sat down and I played through Pokemon Emerald in one night. I had a great time. I love doing that with Pokemon games, like the old Game Boy Pokemon games. Last year I did it with Crystal and Yellow, and it was great to do it with Emerald, because Emerald I'm a lot more, it hadn't been as long since I played Emerald and I played it a lot more times, so there was no point where I was like, oh, where's this or where's that. The only sort of part that I was like, oh, I had to like sort of scratch my memory bank was when you're when you get TM or HM Dive and you've got to dive to find the last Team Magma or Aqua Base. I'm like, oh, where's that again? But it wasn't too hard to find. It's only south of Moz Deep. It wasn't too hard to find. But that was like a bit like, oh, where is this again? Like, it's a whole ocean. Where do I have to go to find this goddamn submarine? But yeah, no, it was fantastic. So yeah, I played through Emerald, had a great time. I capped it off with finding Latios and caught Latios without the Master Ball, just for something to do. It was fun to track him down and all that.
Yeah.
And the next day, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it again. So I booted up Pokemon Ruby, and I played through all of that. I just did it again. So I did that in one day as well. And, you know, the whole idea was just do something that's really sort of comforting to me and something that will just sort of get me back into it, get me back picking up a controller and playing games. So just do something that's extremely familiar to me and something that I really know that I like. And it worked, I think, because, yeah, I picked up Peach today and I was vibing with it. I was having fun, which I wasn't necessarily when I tried it a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, it was great. Awesome. And I love playing these on, like, with a big vibrant screen on the Steam Deck. And I was playing it on the TV as well, when I just like plug in my cord and pops up on the TV. And it was sort of wanted on Switch forever, but they just seem so reluctant to bring those Game Boy games and Game Boy Advance games to Switch online. It's it got to the point where I'm like, all right, I give up. Look, they've got this really great, there's a really great option here with achievements and speed running timers and you know, save slots and mods and cheats, and like, you know, the world's your oyster. So I'm like, all right, you know, it's been long enough. I've been waiting since the 3DS for Ruby Sapphire and Emerald to come to to the virtual console or something. It's all right, you know.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years. We gave it a crack, or we'll just play it here. We'll just play it here. But yeah, no, it's been fantastic. So
that's good.
Yeah. No, because yeah, Game Boy Advance games look especially great on it. I went to if anybody wants to know where you can get Game Boy Advance games really easily, all you have to do is type in GBA Internet Archive, and it's a 3 gig download. It's every single Game Boy Advance game. Boom, done. And you drop that onto the Steam Deck and world's your oyster. But
Internet Archive, archive.org,
that's the one. Because like for me, I'm patiently waiting for Metroid Fusion to come to Switch Online, because that one in particular, I would like just that really nice inbuilt what did I say?
Fusion.
Zero Fusion. Yeah, Zero Mission. Yeah, I'm waiting for that to come to Switch Online, because, yeah, I wouldn't mind that nice inbuilt rewind feature. I think that'd be nice for that game. So I'm not very good.
I can't wait to play that one again.
And making us wait, though. Cool. They really are making us wait. Like, it's great that those Super Nintendo games came, but, man, come on, update the Game Boy Advance games. I didn't realize it would be less than one a month.
Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, we're getting, I don't know, I think they're more, we're getting more stuff now that there's more consoles. So, but that means that if you want one specific console to fill up quicker, that's not happening. There's more games overall, but if you really want the GBA or the N64 catalog to fill out, it's slow now, like ultra slow. So, they're finding, you know, it's cool because the latest update, they had the three SNES games that hadn't come to the West, or Super Type R was the only one that had. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you don't get to play, but that means, you know, there's no hype into it, or, you know, not a lot of people know about that stuff. But, you know, like Wrecking Crew 98 was cool to check out. I never knew that game existed. That's like one of the best bits of like NSO for me, is I get to play these games for a bit, and usually like I won't play it for more than half an hour. Like either I feel it, like I play it and yeah, it's fine, or sometimes I keep playing through and it really surprises me, and you have a really great time. But it's very cool, like those features with achievements and going to fast forward, and the fact that you can just smash out Emerald and Ruby so quickly is so good. I just love that you just effectively, you know, they're different enough, but effectively you did the same thing twice, didn't you?
Yeah,
it would have been a lot of times where you're like, yeah, this is the same thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is actually kind of cool playing because, yeah, Emerald is such an improvement over Ruby and Sapphire, but there is something just for the sake of wanting to play it that Ruby and Sapphire don't have as much meat on the bone where it is you can just play through it and that's the game. Whereas like Emerald's like, oh, there's all this stuff. There's the national decks afterwards. There's more Pokemon at Safari Zone. There's the Battle Frontier. There's, you know, roaming Pokemon. There's this, there's that. It's, oh, that's cool, but I'm done. I'm the champion. Peace out. Whereas, yeah, Ruby and Sapphire. And, yeah, there's sort of less to do afterwards. And the champion's better. I'm always a big fan of Steven Stone. Steven Stone is a way better champion to battle than Wallace. Wallace, like the eighth gym leader, who's like water type, he takes over from Steven in Pokemon Emerald. Yeah. And like, yeah, I've never felt, he's never been the true champion of Hoenn. It's always been Steven, in my opinion.
Yeah,
Steven for life, you know what I mean? I'm a Stevener, for sure.
Steve, I forgot Steven that was the thing, if I'm honest. So I'm like, oh yeah, that thing, that did happen.
Yeah. No, I remember. It was like it was yesterday, Josh. Like it was yesterday, well, you know what I mean?
It's your comfort game, man. It's your bread and butter. I don't know how many times do you reckon you've finished a Gen 3 game?
Oh, including like Fire Red Leaf Green?
Yep.
Oh.
No, just Hoenn. You can include the remakes.
I don't know. 30 to 50?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Yeah, I don't know. I regret restarting my Emerald like all those years ago because I completed the Pokedex and did a heap in it. And you just feel like playing it again, so you restart it. And don't know. I feel like I want to correct that wrong. I want to go and beat it. I want to go and complete it again, but it's a lot of work. So I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't. You'd enjoy it though, Drew. You might get a little frustrated by the slowness of playing it at normal speed, but
yeah, that's right. Can I go back after playing 50 times speed or whatever I was on?
Yeah, yeah. It's so slow. How did the kids do it when I
played through Yellow, I was doing it at 5 times speed, and that's pretty doable, like moving around and stuff. But what I was doing Emerald at was just crazy because you can go into like the options and like set your speed, but I was like, I can't be bothered. So I'm just like, I wasn't running or using my bike. I was walking. The game just thinks I'm walking everywhere and probably banging into walls again and again. But to me, it's just like, real quick. But yeah, no, love those games. And I'll probably do Sapphire soon too. I'm keen to do it again.
While you're there, do the trifecta, correct? Why the hell not? Yeah.
Why not?
Love it.
But I can actually do Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire.
Have you done anything on your retro trolley? Have you played anything on that?
No, I haven't.
Trolley pack.
Yeah, I haven't got all the like the cables and stuff that I need. But yeah, if I do play something, it probably will be the Wii. I think that is set up. That is absolutely maxed with games. It's got over 100 Wii games and over 100 GameCube games. That thing has got some stuff on it. Because I've been going very slowly through the GameCube catalog and I've got like 233 games or something. Or at least 233 discs because some games are two disc games. So yeah, they're on the Steam Deck and the Wii ready to go. So yeah, I'm keen to play some games, but I'm keen to pick up some. Got my ticket for the Adelaide Toy Fair, which I'm excited about this weekend. Yes, so yeah, I'll be seeing you this weekend. We'll be going there and sussing out some stuff. So I am keen to get some original Xbox games. Hopefully, I'll be able to pick up some of them because yeah, I've got my Xbox last week, so I'd like to play some games on that. But yeah, it's just, I haven't been gaming much at all, but yeah, picking up the Steam Deck and this week I want to, get through Princess Peach and we'll see how we go on another game. But yeah, sure. If I'm able to get to 20 games by the end of this month, which is I've finished 16 with Emerald and Ruby, so I'll be still on track, still on good pace for 50 this year. But yeah, we've had a bit of a sleep at the wheel there. But don't know. We'll still be
you got time.
We'll still be ahead.
You'll recalibrate. You'll get yourself in the right mindset, and you'll be good to go.
That's right. Be like Rocky Balboa in the corner, you know, getting the sweats on and get the sweat towel. That's like, come on, mate, get back out there. absolutely.
That'd be good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, Drew. Sunday would be awesome. It's a very big, very, very great place in Adelaide to get games. This is a toy fair twice a year. So bring cash. Make sure you bring cash. Go to an ATM beforehand.
Oh, bring some cash. Some sellers
don't like to live in modern times, and they prefer the cold, hard stuff. So
I don't blame them.
And
though.
It's good for haggling.
That's right. I want to like go there and say, hey, look, what can you do? What can you do this for if I pay cash? Tricky cash. Just but like.
Yeah, that's right. Show them you got the pineapples and you're ready to go and ready to do business.
Yeah. So I've asked you other weeks, but we're a lot closer to the event now. Do you have anything on your wish list? Something like, all right, this would be good to pick up for any particular console? Are you targeting a console, a series, a certain line of collectibles, like Amiibo or anything else? Mm. Is there something you'll be keeping your eye out for?
Yes. So I'm always, number one's Amiibo. So I like to get them because my collection's loose. So I like to get them here because typically they can be a bit cheaper. Depends on the seller. Sometimes they're not. So a few little holes in my collection still I want to fill out. So usually on average, I'm picking one or two Amiibo up each time. And that's something new to the collection. Loose or in the box, I really don't care as long as the price is decent. I am big stickler at the moment for box GBA and Game Boy stuff. So if I see a cool game that I like and the box is in a decent enough condition and the price is there as well, I'll have a go at that. But anything Metroid or even Castlevania, I've been slowly filling out my collection of Castlevania games. And so I'd love to see like if there was a boxed Super Castlevania 4 or if there was Castlevania Bloodlines, anything like that would be really cool to add to the collection. Like Super Metroid, I don't own that physically, so just stuff like that I'll be keen to keep an eye on. But let anything Nintendo, if there's something from all the previous consoles that I don't have, I usually have a bit of a look at and add to my basket. But Amiibo, GBA, Game Boy, and then the Castlevania Metroid. That's my main stuff.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got so what, your big deep Xbox pockets for those that cardboard.
Oh man, it's not cheap. That stuff's not cheap. And I I've got, Zero Mission to the Game Boy Advance, and that's a bit of a holy grail. And the one for Castlevania is also obviously Symphony of the Night, and that's not cheap. And if that was available, that'd be cool to see in person. I think I've seen a Japanese version on the Sega Saturn. They had there one time in Adelaide. I don't know if I want a Japanese one or not. I don't know. It depends on the game. I've got Mother 2 because getting Earthbound, the Western version is just near impossible, or cost-wise alone it's not going to happen. So it definitely depends on the game. But that's the main stuff. And a lot of the stuff I'm looking in my collection has been sourced from these fairs. So I love them for that reason.
Awesome. Yeah.
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 So, I think, so what about you specifically? Like, we're an Xbox, but if there was something you saw is like an instant purchase, what would it be?
It depends on the price. Cause I'm not 100% familiar what to expect with the prices. Obviously I've got a rough idea from eBay and all that, but I won't want to like pay too much. I'm going for actually like a fair bit of quantity. If you know what I mean, like I want to spend like a few hundred bucks, but I want to come away with like a bit of stuff. I don't want to spend $200 on like one item. Yeah. Yeah. Stuff like, yeah, bundles and stuff like that. I'm not really after like the grail item or stuff like that. It's a lot more sort of the more common stuff on probably NES and maybe Nintendo 64. So like Nintendo 64, like I don't want a heap of games. I play mainly on Switch and Steam Deck, to be honest with you. But I do have like my favorite games that I actually want to own, because at the moment I've only got Lilac Wars, a Star Wars game, and what else was it? I forgot its name. By Rare. Oh, it's right over there too.
Tempted What's the Star Wars game?
Have a look.
Shadows of the Empire? Rogue's
I think so. Yeah. It came with my Nintendo 64 when I got it from a garage sale. Like, you know, they're not games I've actually played. But yeah, I want to pick up like the common stuff from Nintendo, to be honest with you, on 64, just like Mario 64, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart 64. You know, I basically want to get like 10 of my favorite games on each of these cartridge systems just to like have, so I can play it authentically and also like display. But yeah, nothing too crazy there. I'm not after like the really expensive games or anything like that. Just the common stuff that I love. I would like a physical copy of, NES, SNES, and Nintendo 64. And there's definitely a few holes in my Wii collection. I haven't bought a Wii game for a while after going on a bit of a rampage buying Wii games.
When you say a while, like 3 weeks or 4 weeks? What's that?
No. Since 2 months or so, I would say.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been a while. Yeah. That's purely because, I would have to like order it on eBay or something. It doesn't, stuff like that does not pop up around here. And so I like to, fill out stuff on Wii. Like, honestly, no console is really off limits, to be honest with you. Like, there's even like a couple of stuff on like PS3 and 360 and dunno. Like, if stuff's like reasonably priced, especially on like, you know, PS3 and 360, there are some games that I actually want to play but aren't available on PS5 or Series S or X. So yeah, there's a bit going on there. And it's a little bit concerning too, because like the Xbox 360 stores are shutting down soon. So it's starting to spike some Xbox 360 games, which kind of sucks. Because the 360 is a console that's just like dirt cheap. So it kind of sucks that, that's happening to some games. Obviously not all games. Like if you want to pick up like the Assassin's Creed's or Call of Duty's or whatever, like, you know, that stuff. It's going to be cheap because there's that many of them around. But there's a lot of like exclusive Xbox 360 JRPGs, like a Tales game and stuff like that. That's, it's just going to skyrocket in price when people get sniff of it. Get a bit of a whiff of it, especially because it's like backwards compatible on Series X. So it's actually got like a use for like modern consoles. It's not just digging out their old stuff. For me, it's like a lot of the cartridges, if they're decently priced, I don't want to be spending like more than $40 or $50 each type of thing, but we'll see. Obviously for like some games I will, but I want to get like a decent amount of stuff for an all right price. And if there's a Dreamcast, have a look at the Dreamcast, but it'd be a little bit trickier, I'd imagine, the Dreamcast.
I've seen them there before. So
you have?
If I know the one seller who had it, so we'll go there. I think you'll surprise yourself with what you see and what you get. Interested to see what you come up with. So like you get the normal sellers who will, you know, charge a pretty standard price that you're expecting, but then there's some sellers who don't know what they have, or they just want to get rid of stuff and you can bundle it, haggle. You can get some good stuff. So keen to, I'm hoping you'll enjoy what you see.
Yeah, hope so. We're bringing up a screaming 2-year-old to Adelaide, so hopefully it's worth the trip.
Oh, is he going to be there as well?
Nah, he won't come. Chantel and Lucas, they'll go and see some of Chantel's friends or whatever. Okay. They'll sort out the day. But if he was there, I've gone game hunting with Lucas, just me and Lucas before. And like I get down on one knee, like flipping through like the game covers, and Lucas like grabs it out, opens it, and puts it back the wrong way. I'm like, oh well.
sticky fingers. All that
sometimes stuff. I find like a cheap game, but you know, that won't be so bad if he does something bad to it. I just give it to him. Like, all right, that'll entertain you while I look through the rest. Give him like a really old Assassin's Creed game on 360. And he just opens and closes it while I'm like quickly like looking, see if anything's catching my eye.
I love it.
One day he might come with me and he might spot something for me. He'd be my spotter.
Yeah, nice and small, so he can get to the bottom boxes and look for something you want. Tell him a keyword and he'll find it.
Yeah, it's like, mate, it's your job to get on your stomach and look underneath the shelf, see if there's anything good that's fallen on the ground. That's your job. If there's a lollipop under there for you, it's all yours, mate.
All yours, mate. Bloody beautiful.
Bloody beautiful, mate. Yeah. So yeah, really looking forward to that. Anything else you'd like to touch on from what you've been playing? Or?
Yes, I have finally started Hollow Knight. So I played about 5 hours of that this last weekend. It would have been Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, finishing that. So I'm like, I'm in a Metroidvania mood again. That kind of it ebbs and flows for me. Hadn't properly played one outside of Lost Crown. And so once I finished that, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep the good times going. And I thought, just got to give Hollow Knight another go because I didn't have a great time when I first tried it. And then it was reassuring to hear the other day on my podcast that Barry felt the same and he's never finished it. So even Michaela's given Hollow Knight a go and she didn't gel with it. So I think it's a thing. It's some people don't quite gel with it straight away. But on my second playthrough, I gel with it, man. And it is a beautiful game. This is I love it. I think I've realized it's because you start the game and you have to kill things and explore in an area without a map. They don't hold your hand straight away and just like, you got to go down here. You got to, you know, kill some bugs, get some geo, and then save your way up to get 220 of it to get a map that properly follows you around and shows you where you are. And you got to save another 100 geo to get a quill. And it's a whole thing. You got to do it first. And so, but it kind of trains you up, gets you ready. And it's very good so far. I can understand the hype and the love that people have for this game and already. And then, you know, what it means for Silksong when that eventually comes sooner or later, we don't know yet. But just something so striking about the art style. But I was just so used to it's a black and blue kind of colored tone at first. And then you go and see a different shade of color for the first time. And it blew my mind. I'm like, oh my God, yes, some other colors exist in this world. It was like, oh my God, I can see a purple. It was a pinky purple. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, it's a different color. And then I saw greens the first time. Like, oh, this is so good. Natural, some variety in the colors. But it's not just like they're lazy in terms of their coloring. It's just like, this is, you know, this is a different area. It's a different zone. I can see green now, and it's very cool. So, I get the controls now. That I don't know. Last time, I just didn't get it. But the controls I feel are really crisp and easy to move around. I'm just loving it. I just completely different playthrough for me compared to that first time I gave it a go.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. How I guess different moods or different times in your life where games can either click or they won't, which sounds cool, but it's actually like clicking for you now. Maybe Prince of Persia was just like such a good warm up, you know, getting you into the mood. Just making you think of it from a different perspective or something like that. That's pretty cool. It's interesting too how you mentioned like the colors and how like when you get to a different area, you're sort of mind blown by just the different aesthetic. That is kind of cool because you can imagine the designers were kind of trying to convey that through those colors that like you're in this desolate world and you're trying to like move on to the next area and you get that sort of experience you would imagine the character would experience when they get to a new place, like, oh, finally, like a different place. I don't know whether where you went was better or worse for your character. Like you could have gone to hell as far as I know. But yeah, that's cool. It's kind of cool when like you feel those emotions through playing games.
That's right. It is one of those things where it's like you can just feel how beautiful this game is and surreal. And I think the other thing too is like, I need to play this because I live in Adelaide, and this is where it's made in Australia, Adelaide, South Australia, Australia, and it's a global phenomenon. And so, just crazy, you know, this smallish town in Australia has made this massive hit that you know, has got sort of exceeded everyone's expectations, I'm sure, for the small indie team when they were making it. But yeah, just cool. Playing a bit of local gaming is a weird thing to say.
A bit of local gaming. Yeah. Do you reckon you'll have it finished by the time Silksong gets announced or released?
Probably. I think there's probably a good chance, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's coming out soon.
Have they even given it a date?
No, we haven't heard jack shit from Team Cherry or their publisher or anything like that. But it has been rated in Korea. It's the store page has popped up on the Xbox store. And
it must be too far away.
Yeah. So you got those two things.
This year, probably.
Yeah, this year, surely. And when I was at that sort of that local indie Adelaide game developer sort of, I don't know what you'll call it, little expo, meetup, whatever. The Team Cherry guys were there, and it was seeming like, you know, they're all hands on deck, sort of with a specific date in mind. But I only heard that through the grapevine because, yeah, everybody's like, oh, they're the Team Cherry guys. It's like, oh, really? Oh, there you go. They're just walking around like, trying to keep
celebrity
cool
in the indie place. Yeah.
Yeah. It is kind of cool. Like they'll like in a place like that where, you know, everybody's just making games for the passion of making games. And if they can make money from it, that is just a dream. But you've got these guys who are like, yeah, no, we're set for life. We're good. We found our success.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. They've won games, just sold so well. They're done.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, yeah, it's really interesting with Team Cherry how they've had like massive marketing beats at E3 with both Nintendo and Xbox during their big whether it's direct or like conference at E3. Because I forgot what it was, 2019 or 18 when Hollow Knight Shadow dropped at a Nintendo Direct, which was like, that's massive. Like, how much bigger stage could you have gotten? Like, you probably couldn't have. Like, for that type of game, when the Switch was just, everybody was just wanted to eat up indie games, and fans like, all right, here's one, and it's 16 or 8 or 18 bucks Australian. Buy it right now. Critically acclaimed. People have been talking about it because it came out on Steam a few months earlier. And you couldn't have got a better marketing beat. And then with, Silksong? They're like, oh, it's in Xbox Game Pass and it comes out within the next 12 months. And obviously that did not happen. But,
no.
I mean, that's crazy for like a small team from Adelaide to be like, yeah, no, we're just working with two of the three console manufacturers and getting into their service. Like, yeah, no, it's phenomenal. It really is. Oh, like, just
they're bidding for exclusive early rights to this game, which is, you know, unreal. And every indie developer's dream, I'm sure, to have the big three fighting for it and paying you big dollars. And amazing.
Yeah. Because, yes, Silksong, actually, they were at Nintendo Australia's PAX booth, 2019, the last year of PAX. I played it there. I've played Silksong. And when you play it, you get like a pin of like the main character, which I think they're called a Hornet or something like that. So it blows my mind. Like, yeah, I've actually played the game. I jumped around a bit and killed some stuff. You love a good Metroidvania demo. You know exactly what you're doing. It's like, all right, where am I going? Where did the last person put the controller down?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're feeling for controls and how you feel and the level design, and I suppose that's about it, really.
Suss it out for when you bring it home. You sit down on your couch and you're like, all right, time to get lost and frustrated for the next 3 hours. I can't wait.
Definitely not frustrated. Don't know what you're talking about. I love it.
That's good, man. I appreciate that.
About it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, hopefully soon. Sometime this year, would have thought. From all those little tidbits of info.
I think it will come out tomorrow.
Then I won't finish Hollow Knight in time, if that's the case, but...
won't be it by tomorrow.
Imagine a shadow drop. God. No. No, they've got to have a bit of a window, surely. It'd be crazy, though, if they did shadow drop.
Yeah, if I was them, I wouldn't. I'll do a lead up to it. I'll do a marketing lead up for sure. It works sometimes, but because I think like even like Hi-Fi Rush, I think that like that on the Xbox, I reckon that probably
shadow dropped, didn't it? Yeah,
it probably wasn't as big as it could have been. There are some games where it works well. I think like for like the hardcore community when it came to Hi-Fi Rush on Xbox, I think all of like a lot of people jumped straight into it with Game Pass and all of that. But I think it could have been bigger as well. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Sometimes it works just beautifully. Sometimes, games do need to just be known about before it gets dropped in there and get some hype sort of before.
Explain it a bit, pump it up a little.
I'll be keen to see what everybody's talking about when Silksong comes out. I will buy it. Just, support the locals, really.
Oh, it'd be day one buy for me at this rate. How much I'm enjoying Hollow Knight. So, I just hope it comes to Switch or whatever, Switch 2, whatever it's going to be, pretty well soonish after, if it is Xbox exclusive for the temporary period.
No. It's not exclusive to Xbox.
Okay,
it's just on Game Pass. Yeah, so you're safe. It's coming to Switch. Don't you scrunch up your pretty little face. She's coming to your Nintendo Switch. Don't you worry about that.
Thank you. I was thinking timed exclusive or something. But I didn't know. So
fret not, my friend. Fret not.
No, I'm not. Yes. I'm not. Cool. What else? Have you been playing anything else?
No, I haven't. I'm going to play some Princess Peach after this podcast recording. Then I might play some Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Still got to complete that. So, trying to catch up. Try and catch up. We'll get back on. And, so we'll play some Side Order because you told me to. Wacko Jacko's really fucking coming out with the threats now. Like, he's turned from bullying to just psychotic. You know what I mean? With the one-star rating.
Scary, man. You got to play. Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, you got to play. You can't have that. But, I guess we're an hour in. Do you want to leave the show off there or anything else you'd like to talk about?
I had notes and we've gone through all the things I wanted to talk about. So unless you had something else.
No, I think, feels like a natural time to end it off, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Bloody beautiful, mate. Well, everybody.
Well, there's no news, so there's nothing else to talk about.
No, we talked about the video games. Yeah. What's happening in the world? Not much. Not much at all. Nothing's happened.
Not really.
That's okay. I don't mind that. I'm quite happy, actually.
Yeah. Backlog time.
Yeah, backlog time. Absolutely. Telling me.
Yep.
So, everybody, thank you very much for listening to The House of Mario, episode 267. If you enjoy the show, you can leave us a bloody rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And don't be psychotic like Wacko Jacko. Don't even lay the threat of doing a one star. Do it.
Five only.
Yeah, only five
lives, please. Or don't bother.
Yeah. Well, don't
rate
bother.
Mine while you're at it as well, please. Thank you.
Yeah, rate Nintendovania.
Thank you.
Make sure that. Yeah, do it. Love of God. But Josh, we can find you at Nintendovania on all the socials. And you can find me at iDruby. And what would be the send-off this week, Josh? Don't get hit by a purple Pikmin. I'm just looking at your shirt. Don't get hit by a purple Pikmin, otherwise you will die.
Purple or rocks. Winged is the way to go. Get hit by them. You'll have a good time.
You'll have a good time. Yeah. You heard it from Josh.
Yep.
Until next time, guys, the doors to the House of Mario, they're closed. We'll catch you later. I don't have a door sound effect.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, I don't have the soundboard up and I'm recording, so. Damn. That's
awful.
Yeah. It is.
Oh, well. Melodramatic, but okay, let's end it on that. That's that.